On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, welcome to the show. Whether you're listening on 1150 AM KKNW here in the Seattle area, or on Transformation Talk Radio around the world live, or on one of the 90 stations this ends up getting distributed into, or on ChristineUpchurch.com after the fact, you're going to be really grateful you joined us. But before I talk about who the guest is, I want to say hello to the man behind the magic of technology, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hello, Benny.
Hi, Christine. Welcome back for another fantastic show.
Yes, I'm excited. And this is somebody I've wanted to have on the show for a very, very long time.
We booked out pretty far in advance for this one. We had to do it.
Yeah, she's fabulous. And the person I'm talking about is Ariel Ford. She is a love and relationship expert and a leading personality in the personal growth and contemporary spirituality movement. For the past three decades, she's been living, teaching, and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. Her mission in life is to teach people how to find love, keep love, and most importantly, be love. She is a gifted writer. She's an author of 11 books, including the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, as well as Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. She's been called the Cupid of Consciousness and the Fairy Godmother of Love. And she lives in La Jolla, California, with her husband, soulmate Brian Hilliard, and their feline friends. I love that she's a cat lady. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Ariel Ford. Hi, Ariel.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, I have to ask first and foremost, before we get into this, how many cats do you guys have?
Well, it depends how you count. We have one cat that lives in the house.
Uh-huh.
And I have an office in back of the house, so I have one cat that lives in my office.
Okay.
And then there are two neighborhood cats that we feed.
Okay, so two to four.
Technically, we're responsible for two, but we feed four.
I love that.
And if my husband would let me, I would have many more than that.
I love that. I've got three at home myself. It was one of those things where, you know, went for two and came home with three. But it's...
I totally get it. I think the more the merrier. You know, Eckhart Tolle once said this classic line. He said, "During my lifetime, I've met many enlightened masters, all of them cats."
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
And only cat people understand that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Ariel, I'm a big fan of you and your work, and we will talk about that. But you are actually promoting your sister Debbie Ford's book. Now, I have to tell you, you know, when Debbie passed away, I know it was very personal to you, and I'm sure it was incredibly tragic, but I think that there were millions of us who felt this huge loss. I know that she helped me dramatically, especially with her book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. All of the shadow side work was just like a gift to me at the right time on my journey. So I was really surprised and incredibly excited to find out that she had another book.
Yeah, me too.
So how did that come about? I mean, how did you find that she had written another book before she passed?
It's just the craziest story. So I know you know who James von Prague is.
Oh, yeah.
But for your two listeners out here who don't know, because I imagine everybody else knows too.
Yeah, and he's been on the show a few times too.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So he's the world's most famous medium, talks to dead people, and he's been a longtime friend of ours. And about 18 months ago, he called to tell me that he'd recently moved to San Diego, where we live, and he wanted to invite my husband, Brian, and I, and my mom to come see his new house, and then he would give us a reading with Debbie.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we said yes, because you actually can't pay James to have private readings anymore.
Sure.
He doesn't do them. So we get up there. He's got this spectacular resort-like property. And then we sat down in his office for the reading. And the moment he, like, closed his eyes and did his invocation, Debbie popped in instantly, and she said, "Ariel, you have to write a prayer book with me." And my response was, "No way."
Uh-huh.
"I don't want to write my own books. I'm not going to write your books." And she was very insistent. I just kept saying, "No, that's impossible."
I love this. You're having an argument with your sister on the other side.
Well, you know, Debbie, you knew Debbie. She had a very pushy personality,
uh-huh.
very persistent. And I, you know, how am I going to write a prayer? I write books about love,
uh-huh.
not about prayer. Plus, James is the one that can hear her, not me. You know, anyway, this, we had a 90-minute reading. All these other relatives came through. Debbie came in and out. But always, over and over again, "You got to write a book with me." So finally, at the end of 90 minutes, she's like, "Listen, you have to write a prayer book with me."
Uh-huh.
And finally, I just said to James, "You know, she's not going to leave you alone, nor leave me alone till we say yes." He goes, "Okay, we'll figure it out. Yes, Debbie, we'll write a prayer book with you." So we're driving home, and my husband says, "You know, I spent so much time with your sister. I took her to all her doctor's appointments and her chemo treatments.
Uh-huh.
Every week we were together. And I remember her telling me that she had written some prayers. Why don't you email her office, and maybe somebody there has copies, and that at least would be the start of a book."
Sure.
So I get home, I send a one-sentence email that says, "Do you by chance have copies of any prayers that Debbie wrote?" And the email comes back, "Oh, we can do better than that. She wrote an entire manuscript. It's attached."
Wow.
Now, yes. What was frightening and shocking about this is I was her literary agent. So for her to have written a book that I didn't know about was really confusing. And, you know, when I thought about it, well, the last couple of years of her life, we didn't really talk books. We were talking pain levels and experimental treatments and, you know, more important things than books. So I open up the manuscript, I read it in one sitting. It's 200 pages, fully
uh-huh.
edited, breathtakingly beautiful.
Right, it is beautiful.
And then I pick up the phone and I call her editor, Gideon at Harper One. Now, Gideon is not only her editor, my editor, Marianne Williamson's editor, Deepak Chopra's editor,
uh-huh.
and James Von Prague's editor.
Oh, I love that. Synchronicity.
Right? And I say to Gideon, "Hi, it's Ariel." And he stops me and he says, "Oh, Ariel, I'm so glad you called." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, for the last 4 years, I've been feeling so guilty. Your sister always wanted to write a prayer book, and I always talked her out of it."
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Well, Gideon, today's Redemption Day. Check your inbox. I just sent you the book."
Wow.
And then, of course, a few days later, they bought the book. And then, of course, when I talked to Gideon more, the reason I didn't know about the book was because she wrote it, she showed it to Gideon,
uh-huh.
or Gideon didn't even want to see it. He said, "I don't want a prayer book from you. Stay in your lane."
Uh-huh.
And then she put it away and forgot about it.
Mm.
So that's how the book came to be. And fortunately, the only thing I had to write was the 5-page foreword, which tells the story of how we found the book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's a really beautiful book, and it's called Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within. And, you know, it's one of the things that I found so amazing, and I think this was in the foreword that you wrote, is that she said that this last year of her life that was just filled with the physical struggles of her illness was the best year of her life. Is that so?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? Because she had a very rare cancer. She had these soft tumors that were growing inside of her, attaching to her organs.
Oh.
There was no known treatment for it. And so she suffered with a lot of pain.
Oh.
But in spite of that, she never complained. She never whined. She was never like, "Why me?" And, you know, whenever she could get the energy together, she would go and teach. And then she'd go back to bed for 6 weeks.
Wow.
And I know it was amazing that she got through it the way she did. And what's really interesting about her book, Your Holiness, is that, you know, even though she kept calling it a prayer book,
mm-hmm.
and yes, there are lots of prayers in the book, prayers
yes.
that she wrote, and Emmett Fox and Marianne Williamson, the book is really her personal life journey of having been a very, very sick drug addict,
mm-hmm.
and how prayer saved her
Yes.
And how she used prayer in every area of her life. And it's a prescriptive book for anybody who has heart addictions, soft addictions, issues, self-doubt, self-worth issues, fear, which is, you know, sure. Who doesn't have at least
right.
one, if not all of those things, right?
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and there are people who are just plain old addicted to suffering.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not that they're using drugs or sugar or whatever. They're just addicted to the choir in their mind that beats them up all day.
Right.
And so the book takes you through her journey. It's very personal, but also every chapter gives you real action steps, as well as these really sweet prayers to use
mm-hmm.
so that you can transform into a life that's really meaningful.
Right. And I have to tell you, I found myself when I'd get to some of the prayers reading them aloud because I felt like it was shifting my vibration. That's how powerful they were. And I'm not somebody who's big into prayer, except for like the ongoing dialogue I have, you know, with the powers that be. But these were poignant and powerful.
Yeah, no, it's a stunning little book. And, you know, thank God for James von Prague
uh-huh.
because she, you know, she had a huge, vast library of materials. And the people that still run the Ford Institute
uh-huh.
and put on the shadow process several times a year, you know, had sent me lists of all the assets, you know, but I never like went line by line because
uh-huh.
I'm sure this manuscript was listed.
It wasn't time yet.
It wasn't time. And the funny thing about it is that I've done a lot of radio interviews for it. And generally you're not one of these people, but most radio hosts do not read the book.
Oh, okay.
You know, they read
that the seems odd page. To me.
No, they don't. And I know that you do. And then they ask you the questions that you sent them.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, almost every single host has read the book. And some of them even read me their favorite poems and prayers
right.
from the book. So that's what's been really different about this book, because I believe she coded it with love.
Yes.
So that even if you're just holding the book,
uh-huh.
you can feel the love.
You know, Ariel, that gives me chills head to toe. And we want to talk more about this book, but we have to go to quick breaks. But stay tuned for more about your holiness. Please join us for a transformational conference with five. That's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll, in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on 1150 AM KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Ariel, I'm fascinated by what you said before we went to break about how this book seems to be encoded with some sort of frequency, because it does feel very powerful. And as somebody who, you know, did and taught energy healing for, you know, a decade and a half, I'm very sensitive to vibration. And it's not just the individual prayers, but the book itself. So my question to you is, what is it about the process that she was going through that you think that she was able to sort of rise above or embrace it in a way to encode it in this way with love?
Well, I just think it was her intention so that people could feel the difference between when you're in the field in the frequency of love versus when you're in the frequency of pain or suffering or misery. And one of my favorite lines in the book is she talks about the choice that we have as to, you know, whether or not we're drowning in what she calls, you know, lonelyandmiserable.com, or do we want to change the channel and shift to, you know, happysatisfiedandcontent.com.
Right.
And only we can do that for ourselves. And the faster way to get there is to connect to God, connect to the divine part of ourselves, and do a prayer of gratitude, thanking the divine for moving us out of fear and misery into hope and happiness.
And one of the things I loved about what she said in multiple places was the importance of surrender. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's one of those real paradoxes of life. You know, I teach the law of attraction, so I'm talking about this all the time. On the one hand, if you want to manifest something, you need to be intentional and you need to be in action. But you can only manifest when you're in a state of surrender and detachment from
yes.
the outcome. So holding those two things at the same time seems like a contradiction. But the truth is, you have to be in both at once. So yes, my intention is to feel healthy and happy, and I could look and say my reality is my hip hurts. You know, but then I could do a prayer of gratitude. Oh, I'm so grateful that I have, you know, legs that move me around and my hips are still working. And be surrendered to when the hip pain will go away or detach from it. So it's really slippery stuff, which is why I started learning all of this in 1984. And I still consider myself a student. I still read every day and practice every day, because it's so easy to get caught up into thinking our way into trouble. You know, Wayne Dyer had this great line that I love, which is, don't believe every thought that you have. Right?
Really important one, yes.
That'll totally screw you up.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And then his other line that I love so much was, you'll see it when you believe it.
And, you know, it's this concept, this paradox of being intentional and in surrender, you know, being in this place of allowing. It's kind of like being intentional without having attachment to the outcome. That is quite the tightrope to walk.
Right?
Yeah.
That totally sucks.
It does.
Because we are attached.
Yeah.
You know, I do want this to happen. I do want to, you know, get this job, or I do want that guy to like me, or whatever it
sure.
is. Sure. And so how do we stay detached and honor our desires? And, you know, Deepak Chopra always says that the seeds in your desire, the fact that you have the desire, the seeds for its fulfillment already exist.
Oh, I love that.
Right? The seeds for its fulfillment already exists. So the desire wouldn't be there if it weren't a potential reality for you.
Yes.
So what I do with people, especially singles, that, you know, are like, oh, I can't wait till I meet my soulmate, or he's late, or she's missing, or whatever their story is, and it's usually all of that. So I like to remind them about what quantum science has already proven. In quantum science, we've learned that there is no time. There's just this now, present moment. There's no past, there's no future, there's just now. Simultaneous to that, we've learned that we are already connected to everything and everybody. So knowing that, in this now moment, we are already connected to our soulmate or our desire, whatever it is, on the unseen plane. So if you can close your eyes and say, okay, on the unseen plane, in this other dimension, my heart is already connected to the heart of my beloved, you can start the relationship right now in this moment.
And if it starts in that love without the attachment, that sounds like a really positive way to start any relationship.
Right, right. Because, you know, even, you know, so you don't know what day they're going to show up and knock on your door. You don't get to know their name. You don't know that. But you can live as if it's already so. You can have your behavior matching your belief. And so that when they do appear, the relationship isn't brand new. It's already begun. And there'll be a recognition. You know, people always say, oh, I want, when I meet my soulmate, I want it to be like when you and Brian met, because the moment we met, we both knew. But we both knew because I'd been talking to him for 6 months inside my head. You know, I'd been connecting with him on this unseen plane. He literally saw my face in his dreams before we met on the physical plane.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how strong the connection was.
That's
what's possible.
And if we take that approach, I'm just thinking in terms of manifestation, whether we're talking about, you know, well-being or manifesting a soulmate, if you behave as though it's already here in terms of your thoughts and your emotions, doesn't that automatically make you surrender to it? Because that way you're embracing it. When
you're living like something or someone is missing, the only thing the universe can give you is more of the sensation of missing. But when you're in the state of gratitude, oh, dear God, dear Goddess, I am so grateful that I'm connected with the love of my life. You change your love frequency, you raise your love vibration, and your heart becomes magnetic to that which you desire because it is already yours.
So did Debbie feel that there was a chance that she was going to heal completely?
She did, and she never, ever gave up on the possibility for a miracle. You know, and, and she actually lived 2.5 years longer than the doctor said she was supposed to live. She was very stubborn. and, you know, like Wayne Dyer took her to see John of God. And she had a real John of God experience.
Wonderful.
And any potential experimental treatment that came up, she did. So she was willing to do everything and try everything. And her favorite gospel song that she listened to every day was Waiting for a Miracle. So she lived in the state of miracle and, you know, really hung in there, but not from a place of suffering.
Yeah, and from my human perspective, I think about her pain and I've got such admiration for the fact that she didn't approach it as suffering, because that, by definition, is suffering, the physical pain and the struggling to survive, in a sense.
Yeah, well, she, you know, I think in one of her past lives, she was definitely a queen because she had many people living in her home looking after her 24/7 the last year of her life. And, I mean, really, it was like it would have made me crazy. But just like, I mean, her facialist came every day. She had manicures and pedicures in her bed.
She had
her dental hygienist come and clean her teeth. I mean, she... her life didn't change except she was doing it lying in her bed.
Oh, my goodness.
And finally, I just said to her, doesn't it bother you that there's just all these people here all the time? She goes, oh, no, I really like it. I like being taken care of.
I love that. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Ariel Ford.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com. Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E-learners.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the wonderful Ariel Ford, and we've been talking about not only manifestation and soulmates, which we'll get more into, but also about the wonderful Debbie Ford, her sister, her book that was like a manuscript in a file cabinet somewhere for several years after her passing, and now it's a book for all of us to read, Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within. Ariel, would you be willing to read one of the prayers that your sister wrote?
Sure, be happy to. A lot of her prayers are really short, so I'll read two short ones. So this one's called Knowing God. Let me know God's grace. Let me see God's face. Let me feel God's love. Let me return to God's embrace.
Beautiful.
Here's another one called Tuning Into God. You are there. I can see you. You are there. I can feel you. You are there. I'm coming home to you.
Wow.
You know, so while she calls it a prayer book, you know, it's just these sweet little prayers with how to use them and how to really heal all the parts that need to be healed.
And she seems to, throughout the book, it's really clear that she's got a deep, deep faith that it's, you know, sounds like based on what she's written, it really got triggered when she was facing addiction and in rehab yet another time. And, you know, it was on this dirty bathroom floor and shaking and calling out. And it's just this profound story of healing from addiction. But it seems like her faith helped her tremendously through that last year of her life.
Yeah, I mean, she really got through it with so much strength and courage. And, you know, having overcome an addiction that did nearly kill her.
Uh-huh.
And she realized that if she didn't stop doing drugs, that she wasn't going to live much longer.
Right.
You know, she had close to 30 years of sobriety by, you know, connecting to the divine every day,
mm-hmm.
these sweet little prayers.
So I'm curious. I know that you and your sister, you know, your sister was and you are just amazing teachers. And there's this, they seem like sort of, they're both in the consciousness realm and yet they're different. Ariel, how do you see your sister's teachings and your teachings overlapping?
You know, I think I haven't quite figured that part out because Debbie really liked to go into people's deepest, darkest emotional stuff.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And work from the inside out. And I would say I'm much more practical and I'm a psychotic optimist.
I love that description.
Yeah, you know, so we had, even though we grew up in the same home with the same parents,
uh-huh.
we really did not have similar issues. You know, we really came in with different things. In
sure.
fact, I wrote a book called Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Lover, 101 True Stories of How Soulmates Met and Married. And it came out the same week that her book, Spiritual Divorce, came out.
Oh, wow.
So we were, you know, we were on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
But pretty much in alignment. We were raised Jewish, and she really loved Judaism, and she had a Chabad Orthodox rabbi that she was very close to, and
uh-huh.
she would take him to Israel with her group tours and stuff. And I explained, her rabbi was always trying to get me to come to synagogue, and I was
uh-huh.
like, listen, rabbi, here's what you need to know about me. I'm a Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, pagan. And when I say that I'm Jewish, I mean that I'm a gastronomic Jew. So I'm in it for the food. So that's how we were different. So we both had, you know, spiritual practices, only I'm a spiritual mutt.
So explain more. What does that mean?
So I don't hold true to the dogma of any one religion.
Uh-huh.
I just sample. I'm like the, you know.
Sure.
The Chinese menu,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I really like the loving kindness concepts of the Buddha.
Right.
And I love all the gods and goddesses of the pantheon of Hinduism.
Uh-huh.
And I like certain practices of the pagans. And I love hearing the Muslim call to prayer when
uh-huh.
I'm in those kinds of countries.
Right.
So I kind of have my own spiritual toolkit. I also use a lot of techniques like EFT tapping and the Sedona
sure.
method and heart math, heart lock-in.
Uh-huh.
So I have this sort of giant space for things that are both spiritual and practical for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that it has been, I mean, first of all, do you feel like you have faith in some grander power? And have you had to struggle with it the way she struggled to find her faith?
No, I always really felt connected to something larger than myself
uh-huh.
because my earliest memories are about having memories of past lives.
Uh-huh,
and
interesting.
Being able to see spirits and energy.
Yeah.
And knowing that there was more than just, you know, being in the backyard of our little house in Hollywood, Florida.
Uh-huh.
So it was, you know, I started seeking at an early age to try and understand what it was I was seeing and hearing and feeling, which I quickly found out other people didn't necessarily feel because, you know,
sure.
I remember one day one of my mother's friends, this man was in the house, and I said to her, you shouldn't talk to him, he's evil.
Oh, wow.
And she got really angry with me. How could you say that? Can't you see his energy?
Oh, wow.
Of course, we later found out just how evil he was, and he ended up going to prison. But it was stuff like that that I knew I was different. I was trying to understand myself.
Uh-huh.
I began studying metaphysics at a really young age.
Right. And what led you to moving from supporting others in the consciousness movement to becoming a teacher in your own right?
Yeah, I didn't plan that part of it. When the Soulmate Secret came out, which was now over 10 years ago, I started getting this demand to speak at Omega and Esalen and Kripalu and the Chopra Center.
Sure.
And teach courses, which I never saw myself doing. But, you know, it's so much fun to talk about love.
Uh-huh,
you know, and it
right.
was stuff that I'd used in my own life and then I'd shared with friends and it had been successful for them too. So it just became this organic process. And so as I was moving into that space, I was really burnt out from being a literary agent, doing book publicity.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like at that point I had fulfilled all the sacred contracts I had with all the clients that I, you know, worked with. So
and mention some of your clients, because you've worked with some amazing people.
I worked with Deepak Chopra for 12 years, Marianne Williamson, Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Don Miguel Ruiz,
wow.
Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, you know, pretty much everybody in the self-help spiritual space was a client of mine at one point or another. So by 2004, I really felt complete with that part of my life.
Uh-huh.
And that was just as, you know, I was moving into talking about how to find a soulmate. And then as that went on, I realized that lots of people were finding soulmates, but they had no clue how to live with them. They didn't
uh-huh.
know how to keep the soulmate. So I started
right.
researching that and writing about that. So it's just been this organic evolution that was not on my to-do list. And had you told me before it happened that it was coming, I would have denied it and said you were crazy.
Sure, sure. So how did you move from like finding your soulmate to understanding that there was a need for people to figure out how to keep a soulmate?
Oh, well, that was just from personal experience.
the School of Hard Knocks, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I manifested a guy that was exceeded my wish list.
Uh-huh.
You know,
wow.
Beyond. But what I discovered when we started living together after we got married was that I didn't have any partnership skills.
Mm.
You know, he's a real giver and I'm a real taker, and uh-huh. I had no idea that, you know, my greatest gift up until that point was being the boss.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And being the boss with an alpha male, it's not really good for your sex life, you know? Or your romantic life, or your relationship.
Oh.
You know? And I realized that, you know, I had no training. I grew up in a house with parents who hated each other and divorced when I was young.
Uh-huh.
So I just didn't know what I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
What I did know was that if I didn't learn this stuff and learn how to have a successful relationship, it wasn't going to last.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
'Cause I was very bossy and overbearing in the early days. And I've learned to transform that. And Debbie's work, her dark side work, really helped. You know,
uh-huh.
I discovered the gifts of being bossy and overbearing, in particular business situations.
Sure.
But within a relationship, you know, there was so much to learn. And so over the years, I've done this online series called the Art of Love series, and I've interviewed over 200 hours worth of interviews with the world's leading top love, relationship, and marriage experts. And then every time I would learn something, whether it was from John Gray or Harville Hendricks or Gay Hendricks,
uh-huh.
I would then road test it. And of course, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I put all of the best information on how to really have a great relationship into a book called Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate.
Uh-huh. So what is a soulmate?
Well, I think a soulmate is somebody that, first and foremost, you can completely be yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with whom you share unconditional love. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home.
Mm.
And so if you accept that definition, then the truth is all of us already have many soulmates, whether it's our parents, our kids, our siblings, our coworkers, our best friends, our dogs, our cats.
Sure.
Fit that definition. And if you're single looking for a romantic soulmate, I recommend you do a daily gratitude process for all the love you already have. Because as you do that, you get more love.
Yes. Yes. And you're in that vibration of of accepting it. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Ariel Ford. Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. So Ariel, in that lyric there, it says, love makes you blind. Does love make you blind?
Actually, it does. So when you're in the state that we call being in love, you're actually on a drug high.
Uh-huh.
What's happening in your brain is you're just filled with dopamine and oxytocin and adrenaline and all these feel-good hormones.
Uh-huh.
And it's not reality. I actually call it the socially acceptable form of insanity.
I love that.
And it's really nature's trick to get us together to procreate.
Right.
And for most people, it lasts somewhere between 6 months and 3 years if you're really lucky. And then it goes away.
Yeah.
And then real adult mature love, you know, has to occur, which is why I wrote Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate, to really explain what that is. because so many people think that love is a feeling.
Uh-huh.
And yes, there are feelings to love, but the truth is real mature adult love is a behavior.
Mm.
And it's a choice, and it's a practice, and it's a decision, and it's an action, and it's a way of being.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're with your soulmate, what's normal is that there will be days when you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that you don't love them.
Right.
You know, so that's a big learning for a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so love's blind for a while, but not,
yes, it is.
Not forever. Okay, so yeah, we're on our last segment now. I want to make sure we have an opportunity to talk about Debbie's website and how people can connect and get her book, get the bonuses, and also find out about how to connect with you.
Sure. So her site is debbieford.com, and there's lots of ways to buy the book from the site. And whichever way you do it, there are these great bonuses. And one of the bonuses is a collection of audio meditations that you can download and listen to. There's also a video that James von Prague and I did together. It's a half-hour video where I interviewed Debbie from the other side about why she wrote this book and what she's learned about life and love since she got to the other side.
That sounds exciting.
It's really amazing. When I did it, it was like an experiment. I videotaped it, but I didn't know that I was going to share it with the world. So.
Uh-huh.
The production quality isn't great. There are things I wish I could have changed and edited out, but the content is remarkable. So there's lots of cool bonuses at debbieford.com and information if you want to learn more about her work or take her weekend process called the Shadow Process.
Yeah, so it's debbieford.com.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
my website is soulmatesecret.com, soulmatesecret.com. And I send out a newsletter every Tuesday with all kinds of tips on how to find love, how to keep love, how to be love. And I have a tab on the site called Free Stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what it is. It's filled with lots of goodies and lots of free stuff. So if you're interested in finding love or having more love, go on over to soulmatesecret.com.
Mm. You know, Ariel, I think that I've got several friends who have kind of redefined the kinds of relationships they want to attract. How do we come up, how do we get creative about sort of defining who our soulmate is or what our soulmate relationship should be like?
Yeah, it's actually quite simple. So what you want to do is figure out what your three must-haves are and your three deal-breakers.
Okay.
So you can have clarity about the type of person, the traits and qualities you want to attract. Don't make this about, you know, size or looks or income or anything like that.
Sure.
You know, it has to be deeper than that. And then the other part is, what is the container for the relationship? So it may be that you're absolutely certain you want to live together 24/7. You both work from home and you want to live in the mountains and you want to be legally married.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could have that.
Sure.
Or you could do what my stepmother did after my stepfather died. I mean, my real father died 25 years ago. She had already been married twice, and she loved her life. She, you know, she had work, choir practice. She was a docent for the symphony and the theater, grandchildren, children.
Uh-huh.
She had a very active, busy life. And so she wanted a committed relationship, but not live together.
Mm-hmm.
So her dream scenario was they would have dinner together on Tuesday night and spend some weekends together and travel to Israel for 2 weeks every year to volunteer on a kibbutz.
Oh, wow.
And for the last 23 years, that has been her life with her soulmate, Seth. They live separately, but they're together. So
interesting.
You can have it any way you want. You just have to figure out, how do I want
it? Yeah, I know that there are many of my friends who are middle-aged, who've been married, they've had kids, their kids are grown up, and they're saying, you know what? I want my own house, or I want my own bedroom. And we sometimes can feel like we're bucking the system because we've seen love and marriage defined in a particular way, you know, in the media and with our neighbors and in our families. But you're saying we can have it all if we want.
Yeah, and I think as long as you're clear about it and you share that up front, you know, like, hey, you know, I've already been married. I don't want to get married. I like my space, but I'm looking for this and I'd like to have that. What's your dream vision? Ask them, what's your dream vision? You know, I know so many women of a certain age are afraid they don't want to be in caretaker mode. I don't want to be the one responsible. You know, in fact, my nephew's grandfather has been dating a woman for 30 years now. I just ran into B the other day, his girlfriend. Uh-huh. They've never lived together, but they've been a couple for 30 years, and they're both in their 90s now.
Interesting. Yep. So do you find that people will like have a certain notion in mind about what it is they want to create, and then they meet their soulmate or one of their soulmates, and they want to redefine their ideal situation?
Yeah, I think as long as you're not making excuses for red flags that are covering up bad behavior, I mean, your soulmate will come with surprises, you know? None of us is perfect, you know? They're going to come with stuff, you know? The question is it stuff you can handle, you know? And can they handle your stuff? But if you have the core values there, like for me, my must-have list was I needed to be with somebody who was really generous. Not with their wallet. I made enough money on my own. I needed someone who was generous with their love, time, affection, attention, and appreciation. That was my number one must-have. You know, my second one was I needed somebody who led a healthy lifestyle. You know, I didn't want to be specific. You know, I have one friend. She only wanted to meet somebody who was a triathlete, which she
did. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and they're married. And they're running triathlons together. You know, I need for me a deal breaker. Was I couldn't be with somebody who was agoraphobic and didn't have a passport.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So it's important to know what your core values are and somebody who will match up to them.
Yeah, and I know that you teach so much about this, and one of the things that I had illuminated for me in one of your classes was how we end up, in one sense or another, marrying or mating with our parents. And although I'd been in lots of therapy and I understood it on some level, there's just something about the way you presented it and the way you had us structure our questions and our categorizations that helped illuminate it for me in a new way that sort of has shifted my perception about a relationship.
Yeah, well, true soulmate relationship is about healing. Mm-hmm. And healing our core wounds with our caregivers as a child, whoever that was for you.
Yeah.
And you can do that best, actually, according to Harville Hendricks, it works best when you've taken sacred vows of marriage with somebody and you become each other's best friends. And you create a safe space to have this stuff come up and get released. But a soulmate relationship is for healing, which means it's not always fun.
Right. This is just wonderful. And again, I want to thank you for helping to bring forth your sister Debbie Ford's book several years after she passed. It's called Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within. And again, people can find out about it and click their way to some wonderful bonuses with the book at DebbieFord.com. And Ariel, your SoulmateSecret.com. And I thank you for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you. It's really great talking with you.
And I thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.